New heading, the negative side. We begin with the need for restraint. Scripture is full of exhortations to be thoughtful, careful, and moderate in our speech, and to avoid rash and hasty words. We are also cautioned to avoid long-winded speech. The following passages illustrate the biblical teaching. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Proverbs 15, verse 28. He who gives answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. Proverbs 18, 13. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs 29, 20. The fool multiplies words. Ecclesiastes 10, 14. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. James 1, 19. As usual, Sirach contributes an amusing and thought-provoking insight. The mind of fools is in their mouth, but the mouth of wise men is in their mind. Sirach 21, verse 26. In other words, the fool speaks without giving proper thought to what he is saying. His mind is subordinate to his tongue. The wise man, on the other hand, speaks carefully and prudently, judging when his words will benefit his hearers in some way. His tongue is subordinate to his mind. This is the consensus of Scripture. A hasty word is a foolish word. We see in the Gospels that Peter had a problem with rash speech. At first, his quickness of response appears to his credit. Yet, when Yeshua asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Matthew 16:15, it is Peter who gives the inspired reply, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:16. From this point on, however, his rash remarks get him in trouble. Immediately following Peter's confession, Yeshua begins to tell his disciples about his approaching death in Jerusalem. With fresh confidence drawn from Yeshua's commission to him as the rock, Matthew 16, verses 17 to 19, Peter audaciously rebukes his master and contradicts his words. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." Matthew 16, verses 22 to 23. Peter's rash words are again shown to be foolish in an incident that probably followed soon after his rebuke. Yeshua took Peter, James, and John up a mountain, where he was gloriously transfigured before the disciples and conversed with Moses and Elijah. Obviously enthralled and eager to meet Moses and Elijah himself, Peter rashly approached Yeshua with a request. "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah," not realizing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Yeshua was found alone. Luke 9, verses 33 through 36. Peter was preoccupied with Moses and Elijah, but the voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Peter's rash words had again gone astray. On the night of Yeshua's betrayal and arrest, Peter again spoke impulsive words, again contradicting his master. Yeshua and his disciples had finished their meal and had walked together to the Mount of Olives. Then Yeshua said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Yeshua said to him, "Truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." All the disciples said the same thing too. Matthew 26, verses 31 to 35. Peter, the one who boasted so loudly and impetuously of his unquenchable loyalty to his master, to the point of contradicting his master's prophetic words, was singled out for special humiliation. The other disciples fell away, but only Peter explicitly denied Yeshua, and that he did 3 times. The denial itself again manifested Peter's problems with rash words, though this time he responded from the impulse of fear rather than enthusiasm, Matthew 26:69-75. Peter's humble and sincere repentance, Matthew 26:75, combined with his encounter with the risen Yeshua and his experience of the purifying power of the Holy Spirit, appear to have cured him of his habitual problem with rash words. After the resurrection of Messiah and the day of Pentecost, Peter looked like a new man. Many of our problems with hasty speech may spring from an underlying emotional difficulty such as anxiety or insecurity. Many people have an emotional compulsion to talk quickly, hastily, and at great length, and feel incapable of controlling the desire. Sometimes such a speech pattern is part of a broader cluster of control problems, sex, food, drink, etc., that all have a common emotional root. Often, the discouraging conviction that we cannot change these patterns is itself a manifestation of the underlying emotional problem. The conviction is false and deceptive. However, the way to effect change is not merely through more concentrated willpower. The emotional difficulty must be squarely confronted if lasting change is to occur. We also need to experience the grace and power of God if we are to change patterns of rash speech. This fact is implicit in the opening prayer of Psalm 141. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Psalm 141, verse 3. The same image is taken up in Sirach 22, verse 27. Oh, that a guard were set over my mouth, and a seal of prudence upon my lips, that it may keep me from falling, so that my tongue may not destroy me. As a soldier guards the gates of a city or a palace to prevent the wrong people from entering or exiting, so we ask God to guard the door of our mouth to keep us from uttering unrighteous words. We certainly need to stand guard ourselves, Proverbs 13, verse 3, but our efforts alone will be inadequate. We need the help of the power of God.